Praise God. We're going to talk about speaking in tongues tonight and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's one thing we'll be doing. That's not all we do. You know, we pray in English in these times of prayer, and we pray in the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted to go over that, stir ourselves up along those lines. I want to read something in starting. Let's just turn over to Acts 2:4 real quick, and then we'll get going. But Acts 2:4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for helping us get out what we need to get out tonight. Acts 2:4. It says, everybody there, Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just go back to verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look back. Let's look back at verse 12, chapter 1. Who's they? It says verse 12, chapter 1 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I said that before, but that right there. Mary was a tongue talker. That will blow some denominations right out of the water if you were to tell them that. Well, it's right there in the Bible, because then it says in verse 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Don't you think that included Mary too? Yes. Sure it did. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and what? And began to speak with other tongues. Speaking with other tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the initial evidence. People say, well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I just don't speak with other tongues. Not so. Au contraire, mon frère. No. The Bible says it's the initial evidence of speaking, initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. I'll read you something about that in a moment. Actually, I'll read it to you now. Until it's going to be one of those nights. It's about Smith Wigglesworth. It says, over the years, I've read in several accounts, this is Brother Hagin speaking, that before Smith Wigglesworth actually received the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues, he would argue with people that he was already filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't know who Smith Wigglesworth was, he was a preacher in England, and he was bold. He didn't become born again till later in life. He was a plumber. But he was just bold. I mean, there's one account, I believe it was him. This lady had something in her stomach, and she was sick in her stomach, had a tumor or something, and he punched her in the stomach under the unction of the Holy Spirit, punched her in the gut, and the crowd gasped. And if I'm not mixing up my stories, if it's that one, the thing just fell out right onto the floor. But he did all kinds of stuff like that. That may seem weird. I mean, he was bold. You don't just be bold in yourself. You just irritate people. But in the Holy Spirit, when he was led to do something, he would just do it. He was full of faith. He was called the apostle of faith. Anyway, yep, that was another thing. So it says, so he would argue with people. So he's probably pretty spunky even before he got filled with the Holy Spirit and born again or whatever. But he said, then he heard that Christians were speaking in tongues in a local Episcopal church, and he went to see about it. He found that the pastor and his wife had received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Many church members, as well as others from all over Europe, had also received this New Testament experience. The pastor and his wife asked Wigglesworth, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" Wigglesworth replied, "Yes." Then they asked, "Did you speak with tongues when you were filled?" Wigglesworth said, "No, but I'm just as much filled with the Holy Ghost as you are." Wigglesworth was so adamant about it, he almost disrupted their meetings. Wigglesworth finally went to the parsonage or rectory to get the Episcopal pastor to pray for him to receive the Holy Ghost. But the pastor wasn't there, so the pastor's wife said, "I'll pray for you." Wigglesworth replied, "Just pray for me that I'll get the tongues." She said, "No, you don't want the tongues. You want the Holy Ghost. The tongues will take care of itself." He said, "I have the Holy Ghost." She said, "Never mind. Kneel down here." She was tired of arguing with him. So he knelt down, and she laid hands on his head. And he said that when she laid hands on him, the Holy Ghost power came upon him. Just then there was an interruption, so she left the room, pulling the door closed so Wigglesworth wouldn't be disturbed. As the power of God came upon him, God gave him a vision. Wigglesworth said, "In this vision, I saw a stream of blood flowing from Calvary like a mighty river, and saw myself in that stream. I began to cry out, 'Clean, clean, clean. I'm clean. The blood has cleansed me. I'm clean because of the blood of Jesus.' In a few moments, I noticed that I wasn't saying 'clean' in English. I was talking in some kind of language I had never spoken before. I was speaking in tongues. Then I had another vision," Wigglesworth related. "In it, I saw the mighty power of Pentecost and of God. The Holy Ghost settled all my arguments for me. I had been arguing with Spirit-filled believers every day that I had the Holy Ghost just as much as they did. In a moment's time, I saw that I had never really been filled with the Holy Ghost until then." "Certainly," Wigglesworth said, "I'd had some wonderful experiences before as a minister. God had blessed me and had anointed me to preach. My wife and I had gotten many saved and even healed, but I had never really been filled with the Holy Ghost until then. When you get an experience inside the Word of God, you have an experience outside the realm of argument. Before I had an argument, but now I had a Bible, I had an experience with God." Amen. Praise God. I want to read you another quote from Howard Carter. He was a Pentecostal Bible teacher. He said, "We must not forget that the speaking with other tongues is not only an initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's dwelling, but speaking with other tongues is a continual experience for the rest of one's life to assist in the worship of God. Speaking with tongues is a flowing stream that should never die out and that will enrich the life spiritually." So I just want to stir us up tonight about speaking in tongues and some of the benefits. Why we speak in tongues, get us motivated and get us stirred up to continue to speak in tongues and to do it more. And of course, like we said, we're going to be praying on Wednesday nights here, you know, for a while on, and some of that will be speaking in tongues. We don't want to just be going around just doing it, you know, out of rote, and not really. We want to be doing it in faith, like we would do anything. And how does faith come? By hearing. So what are we getting faith for right now? What's being stirred up for speaking in tongues? For operating and practicing and exercising the gift that we have and being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking out in tongues. And there's so many benefits of that. We're going to go over some of them. Let's turn over to Romans. actually, let's see, let's go over to, we'll get to Romans. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. The whole chapter, a good portion of the chapter, I mean really the whole chapter is about it one way or another, but is about speaking in tongues and prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That word edifies is to be a house builder, to construct, or to confirm, to build up, to edify, to embolden. You know, the simple thing is it means to build up. So when it says you're edifying yourself, it means you're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. Turn over to Jude 20. Jude's right before Revelation. One chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jude 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You, beloved, building yourselves up. See, same thing. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, won't give you faith, because how does faith come? It comes by hearing, but it will stir you up. And it does build up your spirit, man. It's like recharging your battery. See, sometimes we think we're physically tired or emotionally drained, and that could be part of it. But a lot of times we're worn out spiritually. The Bible said that the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, if it can be renewed, you can get worn down spiritually. You can't. You need to, and that praying in other tongues builds you up. It gets you refreshed. Let your spirit, your focus on your spirit, let it get refreshed and charged just like a battery. If you're feeling just like, I just can't go on, I don't know how to go any further, get aside and start praying in other tongues. You can magnify God in certain things, but praying in other tongues, number one, to pray in other tongues, you need to shut your mind off because it doesn't make any sense to your mind. You don't understand the language. Your mind will tell you, this is stupid, this is foolish, the devil will accommodate you. And so when you're speaking in other tongues and praying out, you're basically putting that down and saying, shut up. Well, see, that's asserting, that's you're acting on spiritual things instead of your mind at that point. And your flesh doesn't want to. Your flesh doesn't want to speak in tongues. Your flesh doesn't want to pray. Now, when you get done praying for 45 minutes, someone says, ooh, now your flesh will jump in. It's kind of like after you work out, your flesh says, we did that. But the next time you want to work out, see what your flesh wants to do. It's like, we don't want to do this. We want to go back to bed. But after you've done it, your flesh would jump in and said, we did it. We didn't do anything. Because if it was up to your flesh, you said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I want to eat another cookie. I want to do whatever. But I don't want to work out. Right? Well, your flesh doesn't want to pray much either. You'd rather watch TV. Get up and pray. Why should we do that? Just watch TV. Let's just sit here. Let's sleep another hour. Whatever. So when you're praying in other tongues, you are looking to the inside and you're doing something that your flesh doesn't like, your mind doesn't understand, and you're putting the Spirit first and you are building yourself up. You will find when you're worn down and you're not feeling like everything's right, if you'll pray in other tongues, it gives you clarity of perspective again. When your mind, you start to feel like, I don't know what's going on. How is all this stuff happening? Whatever. I've had a rough day. And, you know, you can just start thinking stupid thoughts when everything was fine the night before, but everything goes bad at work and you're like, I'm ready to quit this job. What? I mean, the day before, you were thanking God for the job. You don't want to act on that stuff like that. If you act on that, I mean, that's how people, you know, they go into the barge in the boss's office, let me tell you a thing or two, and then 10 minutes later, they're without a job, and they're like, what did I do? And it's real hard sometimes to go and rewind that type of stuff, you know? Put the cat back in the bag. Well, no, at that time, just don't act on everything your flesh wants to do. Just tell it to shut up. Don't start speaking in tongues in the middle of the office, because they'll think you're kooky, and you are if you do that. Just get out, wait till if you can get out at a break, go into your car or go for a walk. And if there's, you know, nobody around, pray in tongues out loud. If there's somebody around, pray under your breath. But get yourself focused. And when you get, when you're on the way home, pray in tongues. Build yourself up. It doesn't take any away from your driving. You can pray in tongues and drive. Because you're not using your brain per se. Your brain's operating your mouth. But the content is coming from your heart. It's coming from your spirit. It's kind of like instead of your mouth being hooked up with your brain, the part of the content, it's hooked up with your spirit. So you're yielding to your spirit at that point. You're building yourself up. You're starting to recharge yourself. And you watch. You pray in tongues for some time. You'll feel better. You'll feel refreshed. You'll feel ready to go. And that's the way, it's such a powerful weapon, which is why it's been attacked so much. Like, this is error, or this is not for the church today, and that's passed away. Because the enemy knows that if the church prays in other tongues and uses the gift of speaking in tongues, that's such an advantage because we're limited in and of ourselves, in our minds, in our bodies. So we can't be everywhere, and we don't know everything. But God does, and He can be everywhere. So this means that if you're yielding to Him, see, when you're praying in other tongues, you're not praying with your mind, you're praying with your heart, you're praying with your spirit, and that's being led by God, so God can pray through you exactly what you need. So imagine if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll catch up just a minute. Catch up with myself just a minute as we go into the Word. But imagine if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow and you could pray. See, sometimes we do know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Like you're going to pray for a meeting or you're going to pray for a job, something at work or, you're going to pray for whatever, test or whatever. We do that. You know that. So you pray, God, give me wisdom in that. Help me in that. Thank you for giving me faith. You can pray because you know. And we ought to do that. But there's things tomorrow you don't know. Now, how are you going to pray for that? Well, you can't pray as you ought. But God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And if we'll hook up with Him and let Him pray through us, guess what's happening? He can pray for what's happening tomorrow perfectly. And so that circumvents our weakness of our mind and our body. And it makes God, who's omniscient, now He can do an end run around our limitations, and God can pray in the earth. God can get done what He needs to get done in our lives and in our families' lives, corporately. So when we're praying out things like that, we're letting Him pray through us. And that He can pray things. But before we go on, let's just read some more scripture. But before we leave that point, we were talking about that. It builds us up. That's the first thing I want you to get. It builds us up. So when you're feeling down, depressed, just can't go anymore, you think I need a nap, well, you may need a nap, but you also may be just worn out. Spiritually, you need to be built up. And sometimes you'll think, or it could be mentally. You can be mentally drained and just feel exhausted physically, but really, your brain is just overtaxed. You can be worn out physically, and you can be worn out spiritually. If you don't keep feeding yourself, if you've been yielding to your flesh, looking at things, there's been a lot of stuff bombarding you, and you're not keeping yourself, keeping the Word in, what the Word is faith food. So if you're not feeding yourself, you're not feeding on spiritual things, you can get depleted. And so when you feel like that, check with God. Say, if you got 2 hours of sleep the night before, that might be a clue. It might just be the fact I need to go to bed. And sometimes you just need to go to bed. I mean, we know it with little kids. You can see they're crying and whining. He's like, everything is falling apart. Just go to bed. It'll all look better in the morning, right? Sometimes you just need to tell yourself that. You're just like, I just can't, everything's just go to bed. Jim, shut up and go to bed, right? Sometimes, you know, if there's mental things, you've been processing a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's like, well, you know, I just need to get out and get some fresh air. I need to walk. I need to get my mind clear. But it can feel like either one of those. You just feel like I don't have any strength. And you feel like it's physical, you can feel like I can't see anything, and you think it's mental, but it's actually spiritual. And so when you're feeling like that, regardless of which one it is, if you'll get out and start praying in tongues, you'll be able to discern what it is and get it fixed. So when you feel like that, go and start charging, just get away, and just start praying in tongues. And you will get built up on the inside. Now another thing, that we speak out mysteries. Now let's go over to Romans. This is what I was starting to get into, but we'll read some scripture, then we'll go further. Romans 8:26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. I'll tell you what, this is such a gift, such a weapon. The more I go, the more I realize how big of a deal this is, what we're talking about tonight. This is not off to the side like, well, got to feel with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Pray in tongues once in a while. No, it's supposed to be something we operate in lots. Because for the reasons we just stated, we're limited. We live in a physical body with a limited mind in this finite world. But we serve a God that's unlimited. If we're going to walk where we need to walk, we need more guidance than just what we can see and feel. Now, you can be led by your spirit. But how do things get from your spirit up to your mind? You can pray them out. You can pray things out in the spirit and get what God is trying to get over to you into your mind, into the natural, so you walk in what He wants you to do. Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Another translation says, groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. It says, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, God knows all things. He knows what His will is. He knows what needs to happen, but we don't know how to pray as we ought. So we can pray in the Holy Spirit, and we can speak out mysteries. We're going to turn over there. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 14 again. Should have had you leave your finger there. Let's go to 14, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." He speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. When you pray in another tongue, speak in another tongue, it says here. That doesn't necessarily mean pray all the time. He speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Do you know you can pray things out for your life, like we were saying, that you don't know. You don't know the future. I don't know the future, but God knows the future. And if we'll yield ourselves to pray out in the Holy Spirit these things, he can pray through us and get things into position. I remember, I've shared this before, but I remember when I was looking for a house in Lincoln, Nebraska. I just told this to Shelley the other day. I mean, she knows the story, though, and I think you guys have heard it. But I was looking for a house in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I had looked. You know, I was had my first job, and I was at the point where I was in an apartment. And I looked like I was ready to get a house. And so I spent my Sundays going to open houses. And I got to the point where there's nothing that I want in my price range, and I'm just not finding the right thing. And I quit going. And I just started praying in tongues. I mean, everywhere I went, I was just praying. When I was driving around, I was just praying in tongues. And I know I was praying about that. And I just, that's what I did for weeks. I don't know how long it was. And then this guy that I wasn't, I mean, I worked with him, but I didn't know him real well, wasn't friends with him. Friday, he's leaving. He's moving to Colorado. And he came in, and he had already left. And he came back, and, you know, he had a lunch, and actually he was a little bit tipsy. And I was talking to him, and he was having a party that night at his house going away. And he was like, "Man, you ought to come over. Come over tonight and, you know, drop by. It's a going away party." And I was, okay, well, I may, you know, come by and see you. And honestly, I mean, I told him I'd go, so okay, I'm going to go. He's like, this is the address. It's this house. It's ugly salmon color, pink, I think he said. But anyway, so I went over there that night. It's 5 minutes from work. And when I stepped into that place, so I'm just looking around, and he tells me, I can't remember if he told me that night, because I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know beforehand. He told me he was selling the house. And it was exactly what I was looking for. I mean, just exactly. And I can't remember if we talked the numbers that night at all or whatever. So we started talking about it. And he actually had to go out to Colorado. And he called me on the phone. And we did the deal over the phone and we're done. And, I mean, even he was leaving the refrigerator and stuff. And the washer and dryer didn't have all that stuff. So I made a deal with him. Bought that from him. And everything was just what I needed. And it was just boom, boom, boom. And then I bought it from him and rented it back to him like for a month and a half while he was going to move out of state. Or he had to stay. Something happened. He had to stay there for a little bit. But I purchased and then I moved in after the first of the year. But, man, for that time, Lena, I just prayed in other tongues. Just prayed things out. And I knew what I was praying. I mean, I was just praying for it. I was like, I don't know. I've tried. And I'll tell you what. I've seen it over and over where you just pray things out. Pray things out. You don't know. You heard this before, but there's a gentleman that came to our school and spoke about the Holy Spirit, or he was just speaking. We had this class where the class was every week a minister from somewhere, a pastor would come and speak to us. This was third year pastors. He would speak Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 3 hours and just pour into us whatever God put it on his heart. You know, pastors that were out there, they would travel in Rhema and they would just pour into us. And this gentleman, he's from Kansas, pastors a large church there. And he said when they were just starting out, and he was telling how they started out, moved to different places. And he said, this is the emphasis he put all week on, is he said, talked about the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit. And he said this, he said, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. If you don't know what to do, you know what to do. Start praying in tongues till you know what to do. That is so simple, but I tell you what, that I already was practicing that, but that comes back to me over and over. I just don't know what to do. Okay, I know what to do. I'm going to pray in tongues until my mind catches up with what I'm supposed to do. Because did you know God already knows what needs to happen in every situation? Do you know he already knows it? And if he could articulate it to you right now and speak it, he would, but we're limited, so we got to get it over into this natural realm somehow. Part of that is speaking in other tongues, praying out mysteries in the Holy Ghost. And as we do that, it's like, one person put it like this, it's like laying train track. It's like you're going down and you're in a train. It's like laying the track out in front of you for you to ride on. And you just keep laying it out, and then that's where you go. You pray things out, and then you walk it out. You walk it out. You just pray out things. So when we're praying out mysteries, praying out things that we don't know. We don't know what's coming down the pike, but we know what to do. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to read you this. This is an account. This is a friend of Brother Hagin's. He said, a friend whom I had known since he was a child became a minister when he grew up. When he was in his early 20s, he went to preach a service one night, and on the way back home, a fellow who was weaving all over the highway in his automobile hit this minister's car head on. At this time, the young minister and his wife were living with the minister's father, who was a pastor. The father got a call from the hospital and was told that his son had been in a car wreck. When the father got there, the doctors told him that his son's neck and back were broken and that he was paralyzed from his waist down and was unconscious. The doctor said the young minister would always be paralyzed to some extent, and they doubted if he would ever make much improvement. Actually, the doctors couldn't understand why he wasn't dead. They put him in a full body cast. His neck and his back were broken, and he was unconscious. The father stayed by his son's bedside all night. At one point, his son had temporarily regained consciousness, but had again lapsed back into consciousness. The next night, when the father went to the hospital, the young man was still unconscious. The father told the nurses he was going to stay and pray at his son's bedside. The young minister regained consciousness for a little while again that night. The father told his son to blink his eyes if he could understand what he was saying to him, so the son blinked his eyes. Then the young man lapsed back into unconsciousness. The father stayed by his bedside and prayed. He began to pray at 8 o'clock in the evening. At 12 midnight, the father was still praying in tongues. He heard the nurse come in, but he never opened his eyes. He just kept on praying. He prayed about 10 hours in tongues. Early the next morning, at about 6, the father got up and went over to his son. He saw that his son was lying there with his eyes open. He asked his son if he could hear him, and his son spoke up and said he could. The young man told the father that he was all right and that God had healed him. The young man began to wiggle his fingers and his toes. He had feeling all over his body. The nurse and the doctor came in, and they both said it was truly amazing. It was a miracle. The young minister told them that God had healed him and that he wanted the doctor to take the cast off. He told the doctor that he would find that the two breaks in his back and neck were healed and that he was all right. After much persuasion, the doctor took the young minister and x-rayed his spine. The doctor came back and said he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't even find where his back had been broken. God had mended it so that it was just as normal as it was before. The doctor examined the x-rays again and still couldn't find anything. So they kept the young man hospitalized for a day or two and kept checking him. They told him to wear the neck brace for a little while, but he went home and took it off. Years later, this man was still all right. He's been out preaching the gospel for years. The church had prayed about it, but the Father got the job done when he began to pray in the Spirit. He got the help of the Holy Ghost. You can increase your power in prayer 100% by praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. There are things we don't know. That's exactly what I was saying. Does God know how to pray in a situation? Exactly. And when we don't, if we'll yield to Him and start praying, we can see things happen. Because the very power, the wisdom of God is praying through us. When we pray for our families, we may not know what to do. Talking to them doesn't always work. Pray in the Holy Spirit for them. Pray in the Holy Ghost for them. Because God knows what needs to happen. God knows how to change it. God will pray through you to change what needs to be changed in your family. He knows what needs to happen. Just start praying for Him. Sometimes we do stuff in the natural. We try to do stuff in the flesh, or we just try to drum stuff up. If we'll just start yielding to Him, He can get the job done because He knows what needs to happen. Hallelujah. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. We are unlimited in what we can see happen because God Almighty, see, God can't do everything He wants to do in this earth because He needs a man to work through. That may sound odd to you. We've talked about that before. We're not going to dive into that. But Satan has control over this earth. He's not as control over Christians. But we don't know everything as we ought. God can't come in and just do everything because there's legalities involved. But if we'll yield to Him, now He can pray through us and get done what needs to get done. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to be excited. We need to be stirred up about praying in other tongues. We need to be stirred up about the gift that we have. Not let it lie dormant. Not let it just sit there and we could be sitting there and wringing our hands and wondering what we're going to do. And all the while, we have the power of Almighty God, and God knows exactly what we need to do. And all we need to do is release it and start letting His wisdom flow out our mouth. And make it a priority. If we're not doing it much now, just hop back on the way home. In fact, I think we should spend just a few minutes here praying in tongues as we close. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You just pray in other tongues on the way home. Pray in other tongues in your car. Just start doing it when you think about it. Pray in other tongues when you're doing the dishes. Just whenever. Just start exercising that gift. It's like, don't try to necessarily go out of the gate doing it hours and hours. If you haven't been doing it, build up. Just start doing it. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. Thank you, Lord. When you think about it tomorrow, just ask the Lord to bring it back to your remembrance. If you haven't done it, just bring it back to your remembrance so you start just getting in the habit. If you're around people, you can be praying in tongues under your breath when you're around people. You can be doing that, you're in the grocery, you can be while you're waiting in the line at the grocery store, wherever. Just use the time. When we have faith, when we realize what it's doing. And if you have a situation, just get your heart on that situation and pray in other tongues about it. And then if things come up about it, be sensitive to that. Do you know you didn't have to? It doesn't have to be in words that you get what to do. You can just see a picture. God can communicate in pictures. You don't have to see, you don't have to hear, well, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 blah. You can just see a picture of something. And you know, that settles in your heart, this is what it is. This is what I'm doing. And that's an interpretation. That can be an interpretation of your prayer right there. But just be sensitive to it. And if God brings something to you and it seems good, you know, over time, then you have to be just like that, but over time. Praise God.